This is Kicking It.
A partir do centro do universo do futebol em Bluefield, West Virginia, a hora de o Kicking It podcast. We're not in Brazil, but I just wanted to bring some of that Brazilian flair, I guess.
By the way, what he said.
That means from the center of the soccer universe in Bluefield, West Virginia, it's time for the Kicking It podcast, where we figured we'd go ahead and finish up what we started last week. I'm Kyle Gibson, joined by my dad, Richard Gibson, and we are getting ready for a camping trip that's going to take place during the World Cup. You know, people say, oh, you can't have anything booked during the World Cup, but I mean, it's a month, you know? You kind of got to go on with your life and do some things, and you know, if you're making like a dentist appointment or something like that, you got to schedule it for the morning this time instead of the afternoon. Normally it would be in the afternoon, but I mean, we're going to try to watch ESPN.
And I was going to say, forget that stuff, because I've got a little cord that comes out of my iPhone, HDMI port. We're watching it. Look, he's acting like we're going to be roughing it. People, we're not. We're going to be watching it on the flat screen, out in the open, watching the deer, skunks, antelope. We're gonna be just fine watching World Cup outdoors. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, it really doesn't. And we're actually, you know, we're not roughing it at all. You're right. Yeah. We're in an electronic camp hookup. Actually, you know, if you're a camping enthusiast, Clater Lake State Park in Dublin, Virginia is really a good place to go. But, you know, I don't see people are like, oh, you can't do anything. But then it's just like, well, you get into like June 20th and you're just like, wow, there's a game every single day.
Yeah.
So you got to watch the games, but definitely plan around it, too. And last week, you can log on to our website if you've accessed this podcast. That one, last one should be up. We did groups A through D. And I just want to go out on a limb and say that I really think those groups were the ones with the most star power.
Oh, yeah.
Besides a few, because it was kind of hard to come up with a group of players for some of these players to watch. And I actually stopped when we hit group F. Or group E, F, G, H. So
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
I've really had to do that this whole time we've been doing this, trying to figure out which one is which. But I just wanted to throw out before we started, again, that you can go to my blog, kickingitsoccer.wordpress.com. Today I posted the top 10 players at the World Cup. Some of them might surprise you. I tried to represent all positions. So I included a goalkeeper in there, Thibaut Courtois, the guy for Belgium, of course, and Atletico Madrid these last 3 years. I wanted to put Manuel Neuer, or at least give them a tie, but I think Courtois has been better as is. And I actually made Michael Bradley honorable mention.
There you go.
I mean, he's so good. Just watching him. The U.S. beat Nigeria in the send-off series. I guess we'll get to that a little bit later.
It's a great send-off series.
Definitely.
By the way, if you get bored and you want something to do, read his blog, people, and tell people about it. If you like soccer, you love soccer like we do, I don't write about it. I like to watch it, talk a little bit about it. But Kyle pours his heart into it. You can tell by his writing. So give it a view, see what you think, and go back often and read.
He gave me the Richard Gibson bump, both for the blog product, and we gave each other a fist bump there.
Yeah, buddy.
So let's go ahead and get into Group E, and as Dad did the last time, he'll go ahead and read the teams and the matches that are going to take place, and there's some pretty good ones in this group.
Group E, we have France, Ecuador, Switzerland, and Honduras. Matches go this way. We're going to start off Switzerland versus Ecuador, France versus Honduras. Then we're going to turn around a second. Switzerland versus France, Honduras versus Ecuador. And then in that group ended up France, Ecuador, Honduras, Switzerland.
And I really think the best game in that is probably going to be France versus Ecuador. Yeah. And then, of course, I think all the matches against Ecuador are going to be fun because I had the chance to watch them play some of these friendlies against teams like Mexico, England, and they didn't lose. And I think I actually have them going to the quarterfinals, I think. I think you go big with South American teams when it's in South America because European teams have such a hard time. The CONCACAF teams are relatively weak, and Australia is trapped in a mini group of death, and most of the Asian countries aren't projected to get out. So go with the South American teams, people, if you haven't made your bracket yet. I mean, with Ecuador, they have one real star player with Antonio Valencia, and he's honestly a different player when he plays with Ecuador than he is with Manchester United. He's usually isolated out on that right wing, and you can't get him anywhere else unless he's cutting close to the box for United, but with he plays kind of more central, kind of drifts in a bit with Ecuador, and I think he plays with more fire with Ecuador. He really does. He turns into a really unstoppable guy. It's sad, though. Christian Benitez died last year for, he was the star player for Ecuador, had 24 goals. He died of cardiac arrest at 27. The team's, I think, definitely going to be playing in his memory. It's just so sad when these players go so early. And then, Dad, I wanted to get your opinion. Rich, I still don't entirely know what to call you. France, you know, they lost their best player in Franck Ribéry, and that's a player a lot of people are familiar with from his time, of course, with France and with Bayern Munich. Mm-hmm. How bad do you see that hurting them?
I think it's going to hurt. I still see them moving on, though. I really do. Looking at the group, I've got Ecuador and France going on. Just no firepower. Switzerland, Honduras. I kind of looked at the rosters earlier. I found myself going, who are these people? I mean, like I said, I love soccer. I watch it, but I've never heard of anybody. I might prove me wrong. You don't have to have a big name to play good soccer, but I just think out of that group, Ecuador, France, just due to the lack of firepower anywhere else, I don't think anybody else can hang.
Yeah, and I think France still probably has the most firepower in the group with Hugo Lloris, the goalkeeper. Blaise Matuidi is one of my favorite midfielders, and so is Paul Pogba. He was in the Manchester United system and left on a free transfer. Now they want to buy him back, and they were actually quoted at $60 million from Juventus. And then there's Karim Benzema, who scored bags of goals at Real Madrid. And he needs all kind of help, though, from usually guys like Ronaldo and Bale crossing it into him. He's not a guy that can really create his own shots. But France is really fighting for its image after they went on a strike pretty much and refused to train in the last World Cups under, I think it was Laurent Blanc. He was the manager then. So the Switzerland team has a guy named Zerdan Shaqiri who plays for Bayern Munich. And I like a guy named Tranquillo Barnetta as well. I think he's a pretty good player. But like Dad said, just not as much firepower. And I actually like a lot of these Honduras guys because, you know, CONCACAF is, that's our home region, so we watch it a lot. And I think Honduras is always a really tough out when the United States plays, and especially when they play there. That's the team where stuff usually gets thrown at the media.
Well, fun for us to watch. Players.
Yes, we're happy we're not down there 100%. We wish we were in Brazil, but we wouldn't go to Honduras for a match. And, I mean, they have Maynard Figueroa, who played a big role at Hull City this year.
Mm-hmm.
Juan Carlos Garcia also plays for Wigan. Emilio Izaguirre plays for Celtic. And then there's some MLS guys. Bonnet Garcia plays for the Houston Dynamo. Jerry Bingston with the New England Revolution. And Carlo Costley played on loan for Houston. And he's with España now in France. But my favorite is probably Roger Espinosa, played for Wigan. Plays for Wigan right now, but actually played for Kansas City before he got transferred. Now, these are all guys I know because I watch the Premier League or I'm familiar with Wigan or the MLS, but MLS players aren't going to get it done in this group, and I agree with that. I actually have one Ecuador winning the group like he does, and then two France. I guess we copied off each other.
So you're looking at France right now. Ribery's gone, of course, but, I mean, they've got, you know, Evra in the back, up front. You got Benzema from Real Madrid, Giroud from Arsenal. Remy, I had him on my fantasy soccer team for a while. He scored some points for Newcastle United. They still have some good players there. So, I mean, I'd like to see them go on. They're a fun team to watch. I'd love to see them move on a little bit. But that's who I've got going from that group.
The French aren't going to get a lot of sympathy, though, if they don't do well. They're kind of like, I don't know, does everyone hate France? I don't want to sound too diplomatically
like
mean. Yeah, it's kind of like the United States. You know, everyone just gets the vibe that they don't care. They're just going to enjoy their baguettes, eat their cheese, you know, enjoy all that they have to offer in France. I mean, I don't feel that bad for them.
But it's usually people we're sending aid to that hates us. So
yes,
quit sending us aid and get us a new United States, you know, head coach. Sorry, people. I got to get over it. I've got to get over it. Sorry.
And, you know, if you actually hear some thunder, we're in a thunderstorm right now. So it feels like every time we do this, we're in a thunderstorm.
Recurring theme.
So maybe, sorry for everyone, we ruin your nights when we do these. Group F now.
Got Argentina, Bosnia, Nigeria, Iran. Goodness gracious. Argentina versus Bosnia starts out, then Iran versus Nigeria. Second round of that group, Argentina versus Iran, Nigeria versus Bosnia. Then we end up Nigeria playing Argentina and Bosnia versus Iran. And I think the best games there are the ones with Argentina in it because I just see them kicking butt in this group. Go ahead, Kyle. You give us your feedback.
Our dog's down here. We record this at our house, and our dog just does not like thunderstorms. And
she's going to come up here and join us. Come on.
Yeah, she's going to get on the couch with us. We're recording this from our couch right now. So, her name's Phoebe. She can't talk, obviously. We'd have her say a few words. She'd probably be a Sporting Kansas City fan because that's closer to where she was born.
She's the mascot for us.
Now she's boxed herself in. Yep. Anyway, back to the soccer. There are a couple teams that I went ahead and just printed out the roster for because they had so many good players. But Argentina is definitely the class of this group and probably the class of this show in terms of teams. I mean, you can debate Germany, but you have Hugo Campagnaro on defense. You can start with him. Pablo Zabaleta, the right back for Manchester City. Really good guy to watch there. Martin Demichelis, he plays for Man City too. He'll be good at first. But I just don't know how you want him against some of the speedier teams because he really can get beat. Doesn't have a lot of pace like he had back when he played for Bayern Munich. Javier Mascherano, the guy who I believe locked up a deal with Barcelona until 2018 and has a $100 million buyout clause now. And then, you know, it's pretty much Fernando Gago has played for Boca Juniors his whole career. I like him. But now it's pretty much the Lionel Messi show. Even though there's Angel Di Maria, too, Gonzalo Higuain, Sergio Aguero, Ezequiel Lavezzi, just all kinds of forwards up front for this team. And it's a team that definitely has the offensive firepower and should win all three games in this group, no problem. And what a message that would send. And then you go forward from that, and I really think Argentina versus Iran is going to be the most lopsided game of the group stage of this tournament. I think it's 5-0. That's going to be the score, but it could go higher.
Really, so you're saying they pull Messi early?
Yeah, they might pull Messi early in like the 50th minute, or they might let him, maybe he can break Gerd Muller's World Cup record for scoring in one game. I don't know. Or is that Ronaldo's record now? Can't remember. Anyway, then you have Bosnia. Ozmir Begovic is the keeper. He actually plays for Stoke City. And I really like Miralem Pjanic, who plays for Roma, a good player in the Serie A there. And Edin Dzeko for Manchester City. He really helped that team win the title. It's a super organized team at the back, but I'm just not sure about them. Like, I'm not sure this is a team that can handle it in Brazil. I think Nigeria has a great attack with Shola Ambiobi. He's a free agent right now, but he was at Newcastle. Peter Odemwingie, of course, for Stoke City. Turned around, had a really good season after finally getting the transfer he wanted. And Victor Moses, who went from Chelsea to Liverpool. Those are three really talented players. And another thing I just really like about this team is that under Stephen Keshi, Nigeria is really able to defend. And that's what I think is really sets this team aside, is that it's more organized than Nigerian teams we've seen in the past. So I think Nigeria will be the second team that moves on, even though we've seen Bosnia play good games against Mexico, Ivory Coast here in the States. I actually think they won both of those games. But, Dad, who do you see moving on?
We agree again. I've got Argentina and Nigeria going. Argentina, like you said, class of the group. And Nigeria, Bosnia and Iran, I just don't see much out of them. I don't even think they're going to keep it close in any of the games. So I think, you know, if I was the coach, if I was the manager, I mean, why not? Go to the 60th minute, pull Eno out, give him a little break. Don't overdo him. Don't get him hurt. And keep him fresh. But the thing is, I mean, I know that's a good team. That's a good group. I mean, a good team. If they can find a way to shut him down, later on, I mean, somebody might have some good luck with him, you know, because not saying he's a one-man show, but he's the major part of their success. So, you know, I'd like to see him keep him fresh and send him on. But that's my two choices.
Also forgot to mention another MLS guy, Steve Betashore, plays for Iran. He plays with the Vancouver Whitecaps, so that's about the only player I knew for Iran. And now let's get to the one that everyone's been waiting for, Group G.
We have Ghana,
USA,
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 USA.
Kyle always wants to start USA chants. I thought he was going to do it at his graduation from Marshall a couple months ago. They were doing a super. They tributed. They did a little tribute for the people in the armed service and people that were still in armed services graduating. And I figured Kyle was going to get up and start the chant, but he didn't.
I was just trying not to have a heat stroke and all off. He was really hot that day.
Group G: Ghana, United States, Portugal, Germany. Start out with U.S. versus Ghana. Then we turn around and Germany versus Portugal. Oh, then the second round of that group, U.S. versus Portugal, Germany, Ghana. And then we end up with U.S. playing Germany and Portugal playing Ghana. Kyle, lay it on me, buddy.
Well, I mean, there is a theory for the U.S. to get by, and I think it's a pretty good one. But you have a Ghana team that the U.S. starts out with, and they have some really talented players, of course. They're probably weaker at the back than otherwise. Guys like Kevin Prince Boateng, he plays for Schalke. You know, he was made famous with Milan. He played really well in 2010 against the U.S. Then you have Michael Essien, who for a while was the best player in the world, and in my opinion, and a little period of time at least. Guys like Jordan Ayew, he had a hat trick last night in the Ghana send-off game, which Jurgen Klinsmann actually went to. He didn't travel with the team, so wanted to scout out Ghana, which I thought was a really solid move by Klinsmann. And then Asamoah Gyan, who I believe is playing in the United Arab Emirates. He flew out of Sunderland for some real money. I mean, they probably paid him in gold bars in Dubai, wherever he's playing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really rich country. And, you know, kudos to him because he's kept up his goal-scoring form there, so you really like that. But let's say the U.S. getting by has to beat Ghana. I saw today, it was a tweet by Grant Wall, did some good research, that I don't know the numbers completely, so I'm going to say roughly, if you lose the first game, it's a 15% chance to move on in the qualification. If you tie your first game, there's a 56% chance you move on. And it becomes an 86% chance if you win your first game that you'll advance past the group stage. So those sound like good numbers there. And it is a winnable first game. The only problem is that, I mean, think of all the heartbreak. My heart's breaking now just thinking about it. Going back to 2006, Clint Dempsey had that beautiful goal against Ghana, but yeah, that was nowhere near enough. Two goals from them beats us. Then beating us in extra time in the knockouts last year. And that was the team. The team had just gone through that amazing game against Algeria, who, you know, not the best opponents, but Ghana wins again, and they go forward and lose. Controversially, Luis Suarez had that handball.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'd ever go to Ghana, but man, Luis Suarez would never want to walk into Ghana. He better hope no Ghanaian fans find him there, you know? And it's just sad to think about that two World Cups that could have ended in a completely different way, and that's how they end, just because of Ghana right there. But it's a beatable team this year. It's more beatable this time around. And, you know, then the second game for the U.S. taking on Portugal, the U.S. would probably have to get a draw right there. Because my theory, and I've heard some other people say this too, is that if you beat Ghana, you need to hope that Germany dominates. And that's one thing that, you know, the U.S. hasn't wanted in the past, German domination. Whether it be World War I, World War II, we've done a lot trying to stamp that out. But going to need it now.
We're doing it in the next month, baby.
Going to need the Germans to dig deep, even though Marco Reus is out and injured.
USA.
They've still got some really talented guys. But the U.S. would need that draw against Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second game there, and, you know, how can you say that when they've got guys like João Moutinho, Raul Morales, just really talented guys, Pepe, you know, saving Ronaldo for last because he's the best player in the world right now. But if you can somehow neutralize Ronaldo, and I think maybe Kyle Beckerman, if you made him man-mark him the whole game, shadow him, get in his way, if Beckerman doesn't pick up a red card doing it, I mean, there's a good chance. But as soon as Ronaldo sees he's got a